Hello everybody, this is Ian Walker. Welcome to another fresh episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. This is the first episode of the last three episodes of season two, where I will be doing an hour-long show. And this week is very special because I have done an interview with artist and also fellow podcaster Justin Prime of the J Prime Cast. So I'm not going to sit here and talk more and bother you with all the other pleasantries of just hearing my voice. I'm just going to hop right into this interview. I hope you guys really enjoy it. Tell me what you think. So let's get to it. Hello, everybody. This is Ian Walker, podcast show, here with a special guest, Justin Prime from the J Podcast podcast show, as well as the creator of Sculger Stories and Astro Pig. Justin, are you online, my dude?
I am. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you. Cool. So the hopes and dreams have worked. Hey man, I appreciate you taking the time to let this dude ask you some questions, man. Get to know you a little bit.
Absolutely.
Cool, middle man. How you been? It's been a while since we last talked. Last time I talked to you, honestly, is when you interviewed me on your podcast.
Yeah.
So that's been a little bit, but I've been wanting to not only return the favor, but also introduce you to my folks too, because I like to, promote other people's podcasts as well and the stuff that they're doing. And man, you've been doing some really cool stuff. I've been following and listening to J Prime Cast for a long time, pretty much since the beginning. And you've had a huge introspective on introspective type podcasts that I really, really enjoy. But before we go into that, I just wanted to let everybody get to know you first. So just pretty much, man, tell the audience, who is Justin Prime, dude? Who are you?
Well, Justin Prime is the alter ego of my other self. It's the artist, I guess, pseudonym that I use. I'm a family man. I have two kids, a wife. I have a career. I'm a mental health therapist in my day job. But after the kids are in bed, after I'm clocked out, I do my art thing and my podcast thing. And right now what I'm working on is Astro Pig. It's a family-friendly book with comic book influences in it, or comic book elements. So there'll be like panels and speech bubbles and whatnot. So it's not a traditional size comic book, and there's no violence. It's all there's solutions through like evidence-based thinking and coping skills. So it's good for kids that kind of have emotional issues.
Okay. Now, did your work in doing Astro Pig, what was that influenced by? You mentioned how you were part of the mental health field. That's the type of work that you did as a career. Did the Astro Pig project kind of stem from that? Or was that an idea that stemmed from that?
No. I was just messing around one day, and you know what it was? There's this band called Space Hog. I don't know if they're around anymore. But the name Space Hog popped in my head one day, and I'm like, it'd be fun to draw a pig in a spacesuit. So that's what I did, and there was a really good response to it. I really enjoyed it. My wife loved it, and and I figured I probably shouldn't call him. Originally, he was called Space Hog, and then I realized, probably can't do that. So Astro Pig became his name, and then I was working on Sculder Stories, which is a very R-rated kind of thing, and. Mm-hmm. Through my podcast, you can listen to that. It's a whole long story as to why I stopped doing that. But I picked up Astro Pig and put all my time into that in the podcast now. As I was writing it, I knew I wanted it to be family friendly. And I think about the kids that I work with every day and kind of what I would like them to read in a book without it being like a heavy handed sort of like we're teaching you something now. It's really kind of the lessons are kind of tucked in there. So it's not like hitting people over the head with a skill or whatever.
Right. Not trying to be overly preachy, but maintaining that balance enough to where
you know, you're teaching a lesson, but wrapping it nicely in a blanket of fun and family friendly.
Exactly. There's a ton of so far, huh?
No. I'm just saying you're wrapping it in that blanket of accessibility to where everyone can see it and read it and appreciate it.
Yeah, and I, in my opinion, I mean, it's not done yet. I'm well into it. It's a ton of fun, but there's a lot of humor in it so far. I think the artwork, honestly, is pretty darn good. I think it's my best work I've done. I feel like I'm challenging myself in whole new ways. And there's lots of little elements on each page that are kind of fun to look at. My goal is, you know, like when you read a kid's book to a kid night after night, you want it to be a new experience each night or find something new, you know? And I think the best kids book have these little elements that are hidden in there. So I'm just having a lot of fun adding creatures and little story elements that aren't like, I'm not telling them in words, but if you look page to page, you'll see, oh, this thing changed, or this character influenced the background in this way or whatever.
Right.
So it's definitely, there's a lesson, but it's definitely wrapped in there with some neat artwork, in my opinion, and story and some humor. And to me, it's kind of like the whole package so far. Hopefully, you know, people experience it that way.
That'd be cool, man. You know, one of the things I noticed about you posted a panel of your Astro Pig comic on Instagram, actually. And I noticed there was a huge difference in, I mean, I could still tell it was your art style. But there was a distinct difference in style from how you draw and how you illustrate Scolger stories and how you do Astro Pig. My question to you is, how did you find the style for Astro Pig and manage to stick with it? Because I know that there's a lot of artists, even myself, you know, when I had drawn a lot, you know, trying to create different styles or draw in different styles. How did you first fall onto a style that was appropriate for Astro, or what you felt was appropriate for Astro Pig, and keep that consistently?
I think that what it comes from is me having an understanding of the character. So the character is this, I call him a derpy pig. I'm not quite sure what that means. It's kind of like, I think people know what that word means, right?
Yeah. That's what
he just has this blank.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got this blank look in his face. He's kind of disconnected from what's going on around him. I mean, he's very, very attuned because the whole book is him talking to his recorder in his suit. And so he observes and he records, because he goes to these planets each book, if I ever do more books. He goes to a new planet, and what he does is just, he walks around observing things and recording things and describing things and naming things, right? So he's attuned to what's going on around him, but he's also not. His social skills are very, very lacking. So knowing that about him has helped me to flesh out the way the pages feel. So it is very dynamic, you know, I think, like my opening space shot, where it's like a double page spread of this space sequence. And I think it's really dynamic. It's got a lot of energy into it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's four pages in a row of the same shot, the same scene. And there's things happening in each page, and there's changes from background, or changes page to page. But the pace is the same. There's a panel on top left of a close up of him in the ship. And then we see a big zoomed out shot of the ship with everything going on around him.
Right.
So I wanted this pace to feel like it's the same, because I wanted, and everything's very symmetrical. He's always symmetrical facing the camera, except for one page where he's upside down sleeping. You can see his pigtail sticking out of the ship window.
Right.
But I wanted this kind of like calm, sort of like blank feel to it, just like the pig, because the pig has this like just blank stare all the time.
Right.
So that, I think that I wanted that feel, but if you really look into it, if you look at each page, there's a lot going on, and it's all behind him.
Right. Right.
A lot of it's going on behind him. So yeah, the feel from it comes from that. That's how I'm starting off. And then it will get more dynamic, because he will come out of the ship. He will interact with things more. There's a giant in it that's kind of causing trouble.
Okay.
So things will get a lot more dynamic, but right now I'm starting off pretty slow paced, very, I just want to kind of set the tone of, you know, he's kind of just checking stuff out, you know, and he's right. Staying in the ship for like 4 days straight, just watching, and he wants to be safe.
Okay. Now you mentioned it's not the size of a traditional comic book. Is this, are you kind of going for the combination of comic book and children's book? Is that kind of what that is there? What Astro Pig is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was working on Sculder Stories, that was a traditional American-sized comic book or U.S.-sized comic book.
Right.
And I was always kind of frustrated while working on that with the sizing, because I like to work wide, I found out, and not necessarily tall, and I hated breaking things up into smaller panels.
Right.
So with the book, I asked myself, like, why would it be a traditional comic book size? I want to work with what I think will suit my style the best. And so working larger wide is what I'm going for. So each it's 8.5 by 11 each page, you know. So if you open it up, it'll be 8.5 by 22 inches. So it's gonna be very long.
Oh, okay.
As far as and there will be some double page spreads where it covers the entire width of two pages. So I really want kids, when they read this, and families or parents, I want them to get lost in what they're seeing, and I want them to be, I want to see, like, they're like, when my kids read this, I want to see their heads turn, because they're so lost and they're so engrossed in it that their heads are turning from back, you know, back and forth, trying to take it all in.
Okay.
But with a comic book, it's pretty much, a comic book is straight in front of you and your eyes move around, but I don't want their eyes just to move around. I want their whole head, like, shifting around the pages.
Yeah. Yeah. As you mentioned, you got a lot of stuff going on in the panels when you have that. So, and it sounds like if Astro Pig is not noticing it, you definitely want the readers themselves noticing it. Is it kind of like a? Are you kind of going for sort of an experience type of reading? Like when they read the comic book, it's more so an experience than simply a task. Or what is it that you're going?
I really hope so. I really hope people get lost in it, and I hope so. Each page has new creatures, you know. One of the pages in the background is kind of, it's not obvious, but if you look in the sky, there's like these dragon-type things that blend into the sky that are flying way in the background.
Okay. And
they're way in the background, so they seem a bit smaller, but it's stuff like that, where if you look, you'll see interesting little things and all these creatures that I'm coming up with for each page. There's these, also on the first page, there's these like, Astro calls them purple jelly beans. It's just these weird jelly bean-like creatures that are strewn all across the flooring of that area of the planet. And you know, each one has their eyes open, but they're each doing something different. So I don't know. Yeah, I want people to notice these little things and get really curious about the creatures. I plan on my website having something called the Astropedia, where you can find out more about each creature and really more about the story, because there's things that are happening each page so far that aren't spelled out. If you go to the Astropedia, once it's live, you'll be able to see, oh, like that's what's happening in the story that we would have caught on.
I see. Okay. So the Astropedia is more of a in-depth detail of what is of the surface of what's going on in the story. That's pretty cool, dude.
It's about like the purple jelly beans, right? They're cute on the page, but if you wanted to learn more about them, you can go to the Astropedia, and for example, in my head, I know that there's the reason that their eyes are open on the first page. Like I know why they're open. There's a story element there that I'm not going to spell out in the book. But if you were to go to the Astropedia, you could then learn more about why their eyes are open in that particular moment and what that means for that species. So that kind of thing.
That is really cool, dude. Cause you know, that kind of reminds me, I mean, I'm not comparing it to this, but it kind of reminds me of, you know how kids are, there was a time where kids were super obsessed with Minecraft. Not so much anymore, but they would play the game. They would see all of the things in the game, but then they would go elsewhere. You know, they know the history and the lore of all the little, what I think it's called, creepers or something like that. My son played Minecraft all the time. And so he would buy the little side books. Yeah, he would buy the side books to it and know all the stuff about it. So it sounds like that's what you're... what you're doing there, you're creating an immersive world to where, you know, when kids get your book, it's not only just, oh my God, I like your book, but I mean, they love your world that you've created. And
that's my hope.
Yeah.
That's my hope. And that kids are going to be challenged to learn more about these pictures that I'm making up. But also the vocabulary in the book is not, it's pretty advanced so far. It's pretty advanced. So I want parents to be teaching their kids what these words mean. It's not like something that adults can enjoy. I'm an adult and I'm enjoying it so far.
Right.
It's my daughter's 9 years old. She'd be able to get it. My son is 2 years old. He wouldn't, obviously he can't read, but he can definitely get immersed into the visuals of the book.
Yeah.
So that's it is supposed to be challenging as far as vocabulary, you know.
Right. I like how you kind of put a challenge to the adults a little bit, actually. You're like, there's an advanced vocabulary. Get the parents involved to get them into teaching their kids and do that. Was that something that was intentional?
Yeah, because the majority of the kids that I've worked with in, therapy, they don't have parental involvement. So for this to be a way for parents to bond with their kids, yeah, absolutely. And I read to my kids every night. Not the 9-year-old anymore, but my son, I read to him every night. I used to read to my daughter every night, but she's kind of outgrown that, I think. But I read to him, and I used to read to her every single night. And there were new words that came up that she would ask about, and that when Jay sees my son, when he sees a picture or something, he'll ask, like, what's going on, So I have to be present, I have to be involved, and I have to be able to speak his language and translate what's happening to for my kids, So yeah, I want parents when they read this to their kid, and I don't call it a kid's book, I'm calling it a family book. This is not just for kids, this is for family. I want families to be enjoying this together.
That's awesome, dude. I really get behind something like that, man. That is really cool. When I first heard about Astro Pig before and how you would, how you described it, I honestly did think of it more as just a regular children's book, but as I'm hearing you talk about it and hearing your purpose behind it, I'm seeing that it is a whole lot more, which gives it another, whole different depth to it, which is something that I'm, even more so now, more keen to look at once you're completed with that. I know you mentioned you're going pretty slow with it. You're going at a moderate pace, but do you have an idea of a time frame of when you would like the world pretty much to see Astro Pig?
No, I'm com let's see, I started it in earnest maybe a month ago, and I'm completing one maybe two pages fully per week, which is a decent pace because each page is pretty involved. And I think it's like 28 pages. So I'm like, I think I have 22 left, so one or two per week would be 10 or 11 weeks, I guess. I did that right. So it might be a few months out.
Do you
But this summer, I should be able to get a good chunk done. So I don't know, maybe faster than that. Yeah, it would be a lot faster, but I'm doing the podcast a lot.
Right.
So that definitely eats away my time, but I'm loving that. So
Yeah, you're doing a
I'm
great job. I want to get to that in a second. But another thing I want to ask in regard to Astro Pig was, did you have, I mean, have you thought farther ahead into, as far as publisher? Are you going to be self-publishing? Are you going to be doing this through means of crowdfunding? How are you going about, that? Or have you even thought that far yet?
My mind goes there, and I'm purposely shutting it down because with Skull and Stories, I went way too far ahead, and it was overwhelming, and it ultimately didn't go to where I wanted it to, So I'm purposely keeping my thoughts contained to creating this one book. I think it is worth taking to a publisher. I think it will be worth it. I think it is worth publishing. But so I think I would like to go that direction. I'm not there yet, so I'm not getting hung up on it. But yeah, I would like to get it published. I know I don't want to do the self-publishing route because one, I'm a horrible salesman. I don't know how to sell this stuff. Two, Kickstarter is really difficult. It's a very, very, very time consuming, and I don't really want to go that route again. I did it twice before, and it worked. Ones that failed miserably. So I don't want to go that route at all. I would rather have somebody pick it up and publish it and work out a deal.
Well, that's really cool, dude. I'm looking forward to seeing it, man. As far as
I think, I mean, in my fantasy, like, yeah, there'd be merchandise, there'd be backpacks with a 06 in the back, like he has on his jacket. Like those are just, they pop in my head, and I tell myself, just let it go, focus on creation.
I can relate to that because I did the same thing with White Ninja Guy. That was my cartoon creation, and I actually got to the point of creating my own comic book and self-publishing it. And dude, it's so funny looking at it now. My mom actually found a copy of it that I signed and gave to her. Dude, I looked, that was the most horrible thing ever, dude. I'm like, why in the world did I do this, man? It was so terrible. But but just seeing that, you know, and having the hopes and the plans and all the dreams and stuff, planning far ahead though it's a good thing, going too far ahead, you know, can be detrimental. You know, it can definitely stifle you because you are overwhelmed. So I can definitely identify and relate to you, you know, in that aspect. And so I think that is real smart that you're just keeping it contained, taking it one step at a time, and just going with the flow pretty much. And seeing with your schedule, with your kids and all that, I think that's super smart, dude. Very smart.
That's exactly it. I mean, going with the flow is the perfect way to describe it, because even as I'm working on each page, it just feels like I'm going with the flow. I'm just, the creation aspect of it is just taking over, and it's just pure imagination, and that's where I need to be. I don't need to be thinking about finances about. I think that'll happen. Like, if it's good enough, that'll happen. It'll come.
Exactly.
My goal right now is to create it, and then also just in general to build my community and do the best I can on the podcast, bring people lots and lots of value. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And going on that podcast, nice segue, Justin. going to the J Primecast. Now, you've been doing this podcast now for, I want to say, what, three or 4 months?
How long? I think it's been 4 months.
Yeah, about 4 months, dude. I'm a fan. I was there from the beginning, from your first episode, dude. And dude, I got to say on a personal level, when I was creating my comic books and all of that, I really wish I had something like the J Primecast to just listen to get me motivated, or to get, you know, to have someone that related to how I felt as a creator. So those, you know, those folks who are listening here at the stuff who don't know what J Primecast, could you go ahead and explain to them, because you could do that way better than I can, about what J Primecast is and what your purpose is in that?
The heart of it is I do a weekly episode called the J Primecast. I'm up to 13. That just dropped today.
Woo!
it's just me. I do a little topic reflection where I talk about whatever. Today was, what was it? It was trying new things and building confidence.
Right.
So I talk about that for like 15 minutes. And then I go into this thing that you did called the Artist Inventory Challenge, where I do a look at my week and I honestly reflect on what I did right, what I did wrong, and what I can do better this upcoming week. And I set new goals for myself. And then I do a little shout out to a follower. I highlight someone that I follow that I want people to know about. I talk about a tool that I'm using. And then I've recently started doing something called the JP Weekly Freebie, which is a highlight of a free comic book on Comic Central. I'm kind of partnering with them to do some promotional stuff.
Yeah, that's huge, dude. That was huge. When I heard that, that is awesome, bro. Like, that is neat, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I was really excited about that. I got to talk to the CEO, Lee Jeffrey of Comic Central. And that was such a fun talk.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get with you on how you're pulling that stuff off, because I would like to get some interviews like that, man, for sure. I'm going to have to pick your brain, bro, because you're getting more advanced in this podcast stuff than I am, dude, as far as talking about it. It's cool.
I'm facing some fears recently. I started reaching out to some artists that I really admire, and I landed one of them, John Samariva.
No, saw that, dude. That is freaking awesome, bro. And he's one of my favorites, bro.
Is it?
Yes, dude. John, I'm sorry. I'm geeking out right now. But, dude, John Samariva, dude, that guy's freaking incredible, man. So
he's good.
When I saw you landed that, I was like, what? That's why I was like, yeah, you doing something, dude. I gotta talk to you, because
I am doing something right, because I don't have nearly as much to offer him as he does for me, you know?
Uh-huh.
But he, all I did was I DM'd him, and I don't think he responded right away. But I just asked him, and I said, hey, you know, just give it a listen and let me know what you think. And he actually did. He listened to a couple episodes, and he's like, yeah, I'll do it. And it wasn't based on what I can provide for him. It was just more of, he said he would, during our talk, he said, like, I don't have a project I'm trying to push. It just seemed like fun talking to another artist on this level. And he had a great time. He said he really enjoyed it and benefited just from the talk.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the most I can offer him, I feel like. And he enjoyed it. And it was a great experience. We talked for 2 hours. He was so generous with his time.
Oh, wow.
He was super honest and open about everything. He didn't hold back at all, man. So it was a great talk.
Right. So, dude, that's one aspect that I love about your podcast, how it's not, I mean, and even when I did the interview on your podcast show too, it was just a conversation. There was no, you know, there was no feeling like, oh, okay, I got to prove myself, or, you know, I got to push a project that I'm doing. There's no pressure of any kind, you know. It was, you really felt like you were just getting to know the person, making a genuine connection. And so, you know, now that you've done this interview with John, dude, that's going to be something he's going to remember for a long time, more so than any awesome. Other interview he does, bro, because he's been like, oh yeah, you're the cat I talked to on your podcast. We just, you know, shot it back and forth, and it was awesome. You know, he just had a conversation awesome. With a fellow artist. That is freaking cool. I love the element too of, I love I think you called it the artist inventory challenge. Well, that's what I did, but your weekly introspective, where you talk about what you've done for the week, what you want to change. I love that accountability. That is something that all of us artists, I believe, you know, we preach it to other people, you know, but it's very hard for us to apply it to ourselves and do that to ourselves. And you are the one who I've seen who's actually, and in this particular medium, has just put your chest out, man, and just said, you know, this week I'm awesome. This week I suck. This week I need to stop doing this. This week I need to start doing that. And
it's been a good experience for me. In episode 9, that's where I was really wrestling with whether or not I wanted to continue with Sculpture Stories or Astrofig.
Yeah.
And I just let myself kind of talk out loud. And that was really kind of cathartic for me. And people reached out to me after that and said, hey, man, I didn't know you were struggling with this like that.
Yeah.
So I think me doing that gives permission to other people to say this, you know, something similar, you know?
Yeah. That was one of your better episodes. That was one of your better episodes, in my opinion. Because again, it was cool because I was listening to your whole thought process. And it's like, when I'm listening to it, it's like, dude, man, I thought about that with White Ninja Guy. Or, man, I was going to do that with, you know, writing my novel, The Gentleman, or doing this here. I don't know. Oh, my God. Like, it's so cool to hear that you're not the only weirdo out there that thinks that way. Because as creatives, you know, we always are in our own bubble where we're like, oh, okay, I don't want to say that. But, you know, it's refreshing to hear. And it tells us, and it tells other creatives that it is okay to have those types of thoughts. It's okay to quit something that is not serving you, or is not fulfilling the purpose that you want to as an artist, or is not marketing yourself in the way that you want to. It's okay.
Yeah.
And there's no shame and definitely no failure behind that.
No, there's not. And that's what I noticed from working on the podcast. Skill-wise as an artist, I think I'm good enough to where people admire what I do, just like I admire John Samaribia, right?
Right.
So I have those people that look at me, and it's not me tooting my own horns. Like, that's what people are telling me, is that they really admire and they look up to what I'm doing, you know?
Right.
But then in DMs, they would also say, I'm not doing whatever because of X reason. And that was happening over and over and over again. And I realized, oh, this is pretty common. This is extremely common, these insecurities that people have, these reasons, these mental, emotional obstacles to creation. And as a therapist, I could easily tap into that. And I'm not using my therapy skills. I'm not trying to therapize people.
Right.
But like, I know that. I get that on a very, very deep level because of the kids and the parents that I've talked to through therapy, you know? So seeing this common theme among people that aren't producing but want to produce creatively,
right,
that's where it came from. And so I think that's a big part of what I'm doing with the podcast, is I want to hear about that stuff. Not as a therapist, but just because it's interesting, and I know it speaks to other people. So
yeah.
Not only, like, I'm taking out, I want to talk to the big names like John Samariba, right?
Yeah, you're on your way.
I'd love to talk with Jake Parker, even though I'm terrified to ask him. But at the same time, I want to talk to people we haven't heard of, right?
Right.
I can talk to you because you were because of the role playing and the map making skills.
Right.
I feel like there's tons of value in there. I'm talking to someone, I think, within the next few weeks, where they did a comic book which ties into a board game, and that really interests me.
Huh.
So I feel like these little unknown independent creators are doing really interesting things that we're not going to hear about, but can easily, like, if you hear that or someone in my community hears that, they'd be like, that makes sense to me, and I can build off of that, you know?
Right.
So with all the interviews that I'm trying to do, there's an angle. It's not just me, like, giving them a platform to talk about their project. I don't care about that. It's more about, like, what did you do right and what did you do wrong that we can learn from it. It's not a platform itself. It's a platform to kind of, like, process and talk about the process of, you know, creation. So I do that every week, and then each interview that I do, or each artist inventory challenge, that's the central focus of it.
Right. Man, you're gonna mess around here, man. Have your podcast last way longer than mine, dude. You've already got way more value than mine, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I gotta step my game up now, dude. I gotta figure out what I'm gonna do for season 3. 1 hour episodes might not be enough.
I'm just rolling.
Yeah.
I'm doing 3 episodes a week, and they're about 45 minutes each.
Yeah.
I'm just so enjoying it. I can't, right now, I can't imagine not doing that at this pace. I'm really, really, really loving it. I didn't know how much I would enjoy this. Honestly, it was you. I think it was you the first one I saw on Miro who brought up Anchor.
Yeah.
And that got me curious about it.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because I saw you work on Sculpture Stories, and that was dope. That was thinking cool. I admired the Sculpture story, dude. I'm sorry I couldn't get to you in time enough to start building that world, but I understand though why you went the route you did, because you know the family is more important and all of that. So, and I totally admire that, and I relate to that on a huge level as well. But do you see yourself ever returning? Like, seriously, I mean, you said in your podcast that, yeah, you might return to it one day, but even as you said it, I kind of felt like, I was like, I think that's a chapter that might be done for him.
You know what? I won't say it's a completely shut door, but just today I deleted all the Sculpturepedia stuff off my website, so I'm done with it.
Yeah.
It was sad, but it's time to move on, and I don't do well with half moving on. I need to, like, fully move on.
Right.
And it felt cleansing to just delete all that stuff off my website.
Yeah.
And in place of that, I'll have the Astropedia little by little. And also, I started writing a blog. I haven't published anything yet, but I'll be doing a blog about thoughts on art. And then what's cool is I'll be able to read those for the podcast and get 2 pieces of content out of one, really.
That's cool. That's good, dude. That is awesome, man.
So that's the next step. The blog won't be super regular. I can't put that much time into it. The podcast is my focus.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that was it. Just it'll be there. I do want to write for it because I want to be able to reach people in different. You know, some people aren't listeners; they're readers. So I want to be able to reach those people that are readers.
Right. I remember when you first started. And I think on one of your episodes, you mentioned how you were an introvert mostly and how the doing the podcast initially was a challenge for you. How did this platform, because talking to you now and compared to when you first started just 4 months ago, I do notice I'm talking to a different, more confident person than before, someone who's more sure of himself and what he's doing. What did you do to... How was that? What kind of journey did you take? What was that journey like for you?
No, I think I'm confident because I'm just talking about what I do. It's not about me teaching people what to do or not to do. Mm-hmm. It's me sharing my week, you know, creatively. So I'm not faking it. That's who I am, and I'm sharing my week. And then when it comes to the interviews, it's not me being an expert talking to people. It's me being genuinely curious about you doing maps and about Some Ariba doing going from independent to creator work and how he feels about that, or from independent to mainstream,
right?
And you know his successes, and like I'm genuinely curious. It's not a fake thing, you know what I mean? So I've gained confidence in just being myself, and owning that part of me that's genuinely curious and okay with sharing for people what I did right and what I did wrong and others. It's not about me at all. Saying do it this way or that way. And even when people ask me about conventions and making money or whatever, it's not about the right way. It's just like, this is what I found helpful for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just me. So I can't, you know, I've accepted that. I'm okay with that. And I've the whole speaking part and recording my voice. I've just by doing that, you know, trial by fire. I got confidence just by doing it.
Right. Right. What, oh no, I'm drawing a blank. I think I had a decent darn question too. Yeah. Right. How are you meeting the challenge of creating a podcast community? On a personal level, it's been, I'm just one guy and I have so much going on in my head and so many things I have to do with work and all of that. And you have more on your plate than I do at the current moment. And it seems like you've been able to slowly but surely start creating a community for your podcast where people are actually involved, leaving comments on your social media because you're talking to them, you know, at least one of your people on every, you know, episode that you do. You have people leaving you DMs and things. How did you go about building that community? And what are some things that may, you know, maybe a little bit of tips that you give to other podcasters that may be listening? Yeah, even me, dog. what I could do to, you know, continue to build the community organically like you're doing? What were some of the things you did?
And what I did was, it was very organic and natural because what I did, even I think from the first episode, I talked about my major goals. And one of them is mentorship. The other one is I want to build a community of independent creators. But I didn't know how to do that. Right. I just knew that the podcast was a piece of it, and I trusted that I would figure it out along the way. And what happened was one of my listeners, Jack Lenahan, his Jack Lenahan Art on Instagram, he DM'd me and said, why don't you make a Discord community, which is a gaming platform to chat or whatever. But he's like, no, we'll just use it to talk amongst ourselves as artists, you know? And so then I just experimented with that, and it was a natural fit. And we've got a really good, really, really good group of people in there that are very active, giving great support, great feedback. So that was a huge piece of the community right now. So I didn't know what I was doing. And then one of my listeners organically, it was just from my listeners, you know, they said, how about this? Because they were buying into what I was selling. I didn't know what I was selling.
Right.
So the Discord community is a big part of what I'm doing right now. Even though it's a very small group, right. It's a very supportive, very active group amongst each other. And then the other thing that I'm doing is I'm doing a couple other things. Each episode that I do for the week, I dedicate it to one of my followers. Whoever's the last Instagram interaction for me, I dedicate the episode to that person. And after the episode airs, I send them a video through DM saying, hey, you were the last person in my feed, thank you very much, and I linked them to the podcast.
Dude, that's a great idea.
It's simple, and no, I don't think anyone uses the video feature in DMs, but it's a very personal, very simple touch. And yeah. I do the same thing with whoever I follow that I call out and talk about. I send them a video. So with
dude, that's a good idea.
Like I did it with Eric Canetti, I think it was one of the one people, and he's like one of the art gods. And I sent him this awkward video of me saying, hey, I really appreciate you. And he wrote back saying, oh, it was cool and thank you. And then so I do that. Then I also do a shout out to someone who follows me that has been like super supportive. I think you were one of them one week, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Did I send you a DM or we were already talking?
No, we were already talking. I mean, you shot me a DM. Yeah, you did.
I might have started that.
You
I might have
shoot started me, but we were talking.
Because I was already DMing people, but then I started the video thing like after a few weeks. I don't know, So the person that has been really supportive of me, that I want to call out and just bring attention to, I say them on the podcast. I link them in the description, And then I'll send them a DM video saying, you've been such a support for me and I really appreciate you. Thank you so much. And I, you know, gave you a little shout out on my podcast.
Right.
So and actually there was a girl from Russia that I shouted out on today's episode, and she loved it. She loved it. And she was saying like, she loves how I give so much attention to my followers and how she appreciates that. And I think that there's artists that I admire, like John Samariva, I thought was unreachable. I assumed I could not reach this person.
Right.
But when they like our stuff or when they like our comments, like it does something. It's, you know, and I'm that person for some people that really admire what I do. So right. For me to give them some time on my podcast, it's a big deal for people. And I want them to know that how much they mean to me, like genuinely. And I think that I'm able to express that through those simple DMs or through a shout out on the podcast or whatever.
Yeah, dude, those ideas right there, bro, stolen. I'm going to straight up gaffle them. That's amazing. And it's so simple.
The other thing that I do that I haven't seen anybody else do is I really, my community is extremely important to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I really want to know who's listening and who's not listening. I want to know who's listening. All I do is I put it out there, but I don't know who listens. I see my stats, right. But I have no idea who these people are, and that really kind of bothers me. So, because I want to know. So I made up these things called unlocks. They're called J Primecast Unlocks. And it's just like an achievement on Xbox Live, you know?
Okay.
If someone is a listener, I like on my story section, I'll put, hey, if you're a listener, let me know, and I'll send you this unlock, and they can post it in their stories. So I've gotten a couple do that. The people in my Discord community, they've all shared their listener unlocks. They've gotten unlocks for being parts of the members of the Discord community. People who contribute to the podcast through an interview, they'll get an unlock for content contributor. There's one guy who's a co-host, he gets a co-host unlock. So all these little things.
That's cool, dude.
It's just like, it's not, you know, it's silly, but it's just, I think I want them to know that I'm recognizing them for being a part of what I'm doing, and that it does mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
I want them to like, hopefully share that with people, you know, that's the ideal, and then it helps spread the word. But really it's more about me saying like, I recognize you, and it means a lot to me that you're giving me your attention, because attention is valuable. And my podcasts are like 45 minutes each. That's a lot of time.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? I appreciate their attention.
Gary V would love you right now, dude. He'd be eating this. He'd be eating this up right now, dude. He'd be like, "That's what I'm talking about. That's how you call it."
And
he'd be going, he'd be going.
And then he would swear a bunch.
Right now, yeah, right. But nah, dude, those are some great ideas, man. That's definitely something I'm going to go ahead and utilize, because you know that's been a struggle with me.
And you
I
know what?
I don't know.
I'll add one more thing. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'll add one more thing. I'm the guest. I'm going to interrupt you. one more thing I haven't done, it hasn't launched yet, but I'm really pushing. I want to directly contribute to the independent community, and not just through the podcast, but I want to give. So what I'm doing, what I've written is a loose, very, very loose script, but it's a script. It's done, but it's loose enough for people to mess with. And I'm just giving it away. I'm not going to create it. I'm not going to draw it. I don't have time for that, but it's there. Okay. And I want it to live in my head. So I wrote out the script. It's called Killer Wolf. It's more of an R-rated thing. But it's very easy. It's something that beginners can do. Or it's something that someone who just wants to like, cleanse their palate and tackle something new and fun that they can do. But it's I'm hoping that Comic Central will host this kind of like event where they are letting their readers and their contributors know that there's a free script out here for anyone to do with whatever they want. They can rewrite it. They can do their own panels. They can recreate the character. Once I give it away, I don't care. So my goal right now is to literally contribute to the independent community in a very selfless way and not ask for anything in return.
Dude, that's awesome, man.
Because I think a big part of that is because we get so hung up on money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah,
it's just like, I mean, no one's going to get rich off this stuff, you know? I don't.
Right. But you know what? Yeah, but you know, the funny thing is, though, is that the people that seem to share the most are the ones who reap the most benefits.
I believe
that.
Share too.
Selflessly, you know? Because people are, you know, see how genuine it is, see how much you love doing what you do. And because of that, they want to be a part of it and thus give, you know, abundantly because of that, you know, because they see the sincerity and they see the love and they see all of those things in that. So, you know, you keep doing what you're doing, dog. I mean, this is going to be, J Prime Cast is going to be huge. You're going to blow up. I mean, you landed John Silver Riva, dude. That dude draws Ninja Turtles, okay? I'm just saying, okay? The dude draws Ninja Turtles and Batman.
And Star Wars also.
You know what I'm saying? And you've only had a podcast for 4 months. That's dope.
It's going places. I want to land big names of people that I admire. So that's a big deal for me. But what I really want is for people to know the name Justin Prime, because he gave them something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want my name. I came up with a word for it today. I can't remember what it was. I was writing my blog, my first blog post.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I think it was called Dominant Giving. I want to, like, dominantly give. I want people to know that I gave in a very dominant way. And I want them to remember my name. I want to be like a standard name in independent comics or independent storytelling.
Right.
So I think giving is a big part of that. Also, of course, I have to finish a book. a couple of stories. That doesn't count, though. I have to finish Astropig and show people that I'm completing, not just talking. You know.
Right.
But giving is gonna, I think it's a big part. And anytime I can find an opportunity to give, I'm going to do it. And the money thing is just that'll happen. I believe that'll happen. And if it doesn't, whatever. I have a good career. I have money. My family and I we're doing fine. So I'm gonna use that, the fact that we're doing okay financially for the first time in like forever. That as a plus. And I'm not gonna rely on my creative endeavors for money. It's just more about giving and contributing.
That's cool. So I want to ask you one more question before I wrap this up. As far as J Prime Cast is concerned, where do you see, I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit with your last comments, but what are your plans and where do you see J Prime Cast in the next year to 5 years from now? Do you see this something you're still going to be doing? Where do you see it going?
I don't. I'm not looking farther than the next few weeks, because that's how far I'm scheduled out, is I have a few weeks worth of interviews lined up. And that's as far as I am, dude, honestly. And it's really day to day, moment to moment. I believe that if I keep at this pace, something will happen. And if it doesn't, whatever, that's fine. But I believe that if I keep at this pace in giving and providing value to people, that something good will happen. I have no idea what it is. But I think something good will happen. I mean, honestly, I think there are concrete things. Like, if I were to gather up the podcast and pay someone to transcribe it, there might be a book there, you know? Or if I were to do enough blog posts, that could be turned into a book. So I think there's concrete things like that. Or even, you know, as I continue to gain listeners, and I do publish Astropig, however that looks, that's book sales. So I think there are concrete things that could happen like that. But beyond that, that's not even like a huge focus of mine. It's just kind of like that stuff that's like way off in the distance, where it might be nice, but it's more about me right now. It's just about creating, building my name and solidifying my name as part of the independent community in a very big way. That's beyond that. I don't know.
Okay.
And honestly, I'm completely at peace. And I love that. And I'm so happy with where I'm at right now. I'm so, fulfilled, and just community wise, I'm pretty darn good as well.
Dude, I envy you, bro. With a lot of people who do what we do as creation, there's a lot of frustration, a lot of overwhelming sense of, you know, feeling, but you seem to have found that good space and not looking too far, but you're not looking too short sighted. You know, you're keeping it at just the right pace and going at your own flow.
I think it's embracing the fact that I don't know everything, and that's okay. And having genuine fun with what I'm doing and focusing on fun and focusing on my strengths. I'm so frustrated, honestly, when I hear people who are in the same boat as me, who haven't made anything of substance. One or two of Skull Destroyers were good. I'm proud of my work, but it doesn't really fully serve me as a person. It doesn't bring in the therapy side of me. It doesn't bring in the family side of me. It wasn't a whole piece of me, you know? So anyhow, I think a lot of people just think about how they're going to make money before they create. And I think that's a broken thought system. And it's an obstacle to creating. And so I've embraced the fact that I don't have to rely on art for money. And I'm just going full on into that mindset, you know?
That's awesome, dude. Where can anybody who's listening to this stuff, again, talking with Justin Prime of the J Prime Cast, and where can we find you if we want to listen to your podcasts, or if we want to listen to or read, you know, some of your blogs, or where can we find you, period? Social media, all of it, man.
The art of justinprime.com, that's my website. It's always going through overhauls because I'm never satisfied.
Coming soon. Tiz is the creator, dude. We're never
satisfied. Right,
good enough for us, dude.
The art of justinprime.com, the first blog post will probably drop within a couple of days, if not tomorrow. I also have the podcast there, but you can find the podcast almost anywhere except SoundCloud, because they charge you for a very small amount of storage space.
SoundCloud used to be so awesome. Now it's hot garbage, dude.
Is it?
It's hot garbage now, bro. Like, yeah, with the whole charging format now, it's like.
And you don't get much.
Why? No, you don't. No, you don't. I actually started the stuff on there first.
Oh, well.
I put my stuff up there. And it was cool, you know, it was free, and they had that. And then one day I go on, all my stuff is gone.
Really?
They're like, oh, we only got one episode up there now, because it was the amount of space that I had on there. And fortunately, it was 30 minutes, because if it was an hour.
I'd say a lot, I would take that up instantly. It's just so, unfortunately, SoundCloud's not a platform. But iTunes, Radio Public, I think it's called, Google Music. I mean, all the other major platforms, the J Primecast is there, including Stitcher. I got accepted to Stitcher.
Very nice.
Yeah, so theartjustinprime.com. That's my name for Instagram as well, theartjustinprime. Instagram, the website, and the podcast are my main things right now. I do have a YouTube channel, which I'll upload to every now and then, but it's a dead channel for the most part. I just focus on the podcast. That's the main podcast, my Instagram, and the website.
All right, email address we can contact you at too?
Oh, yeah, justinprime@yahoo.com. I will buy my own custom email name, but financially it's not there right now. I know, because all our stuff comes out of what I sell artistically, and right now I'm not selling anything, I'm just not taking on any more expenses.
Very cool. Well, all right, Justin, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking.
Come on my show. Yeah, you're my very first interview, man.
And is that this right?
Went like beautifully, bro. So
I was thinking the whole time, like, hey, you're doing a darn good job.
I appreciate it, dude. Yeah.
Homework, you knew me well enough. That was great. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So I enjoyed it, man. I love having the opportunity to chat it up with you again, seeing what you're up to, man. Dude, I just want to say to you, man, I'm proud of you just as an artist and what you're doing and what you plan on doing. You got a forever fan here, as long as you keep doing what you're doing, bro. Big ups to you and what you're doing. Everybody who's listening right now, go on iTunes, because everybody's got iPhones now. Like, that's the ish.
Yeah.
But go on iTunes, plug in J Prime Cast, listen to this podcast. You're going to learn so much. Even if you're not a creator yourself, there's a lot of things I still think that you could learn, you know, with just the mindset and the whole thought process that he goes through, that I think you could learn from, that you find out. You know, you find out stuff about yourself, all of those things. You get so, and there's so much value in your podcast too, man, that I think a lot of people will benefit from. So make sure you guys
listen and hopefully get something out of it. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, man, for sure. So you guys make sure you go and check out Justin Prime, listen to J Prime Cast, and also send your emails, questions, follow him on Instagram, and also through email, justinprime@yahoo.com.
Yeah, the best way to get a hold of me is through Instagram.
There it is. That's the best way to get a hold of me too, is Instagram or
DMs.
You and I talk through Vero mostly, but.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm saying I mostly talk to you through Vero, but Instagram, honestly, is my best
You're way. You're the only person I go to Vero for still.
Really?
yeah, you keep talking there. But Instagram, DMs, that is the best place to reach me. I'm on it. Like, my phone's always in my hand. And I'm responding to people very quickly. So yeah, if you
well,
want,
dude, you might.
That's the way.
Yeah, but dude, you might be hitting me up. I might be hitting you up through there from now on. So that's good to know. Good to know, dude. Thanks again for coming on, and thanks to everybody else who has listened to this episode of The Stuff. The first episode that is an hour long. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Yeah, the last three episodes of this season are going to be an hour because season three will all start being hour-long episodes. Oh, wow. There's a lot of firsts with this particular episode, bro. So you got to be a part of it, which I'm happy about. And so leave me you guys' feedback, thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. Leave me your comments on Instagram. Leave me your comments or you're on Anchor. Leave me a message. Love to hear from you. Love to hear what you thought of the interview. And if you have any comments, suggestions, or likes, whatever, please be sure to share those with me. So, again, thank you, Justin. I'm going to wrap up this week's show. And with that, we're going to take this out with a deuce. Well, wait, that sounded terrible. We're going to go deuces. That just sounded so bad.
We're ending with a laugh, though, man. You're good.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks so much. Take care. Hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Justin Prime. Again, a big shout out to you, dude. Thank you for so much for taking on that interview with me. I really appreciate it. If you guys, again, want to hear more interviews, leave me some comments, suggestions, folks you guys might want to hear, and try to see what I can do to make that happen. And if you guys enjoyed the episode, please let me know. I'd love to hear your feedback, love to hear your thoughts, what you guys thought of this episode in general, okay? So next week, I'm going to be having another hour-long episode, going to be talking about a few things, life subject of little things, meaning a lot in life. I will be talking about gaming. I'll be talking about Joe Madureira's new video game, Battle Chasers Night War, which is a game I thoroughly enjoy. And also possibly going to be doing a movie review or two or something like that. So we will see how that one goes. So hope you guys will be back next week for next week's episode. Thank you so much for watching. Talk to you guys soon.